What is up, everybody, and welcome into yet another edition of the Return of the Roar podcast. Chris Watkins, Frankie Cardicelli in studio today. The Sacramento Kings have officially played basketball. We are back. I should say, when I say we, it's
The team.
You know, the team.
We're partners. Yeah, we can say we. I think there's like a whole conversation about people saying we when talking about sports
big
teams.
Time.
I think, well, when we both work for the team. I think mm-hmm. we used to be able to actually say we, but I think we can still kind of say we.
It makes sense. I mean, it's part of our job.
You be the judge.
Like, yeah, especially you. I mean, like, you're there every day. You're there for practice. Like, this consumes your life for a large portion of time. So regardless of whether you're playing or not, like, we are in season.
Yeah, it's, I think we talked about it before, but it's funny when you tell like your friends or girlfriend, parents, whatever. It's just like, I have a game tonight.
Yeah.
It's like, not I have a game to play, but we have a game where we have to go to.
Yeah. And same obligation.
As a fan, I kind of felt that way too.
For sure. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've always been a wee guy. Have you always been a wee guy? Like.
Yeah, but it's just. I mean,
like when you're arguing about the Vikings with your friends, do you say like we? You know, our offense isn't even that bad or whatever. Or do you just say, like,
sure.
The Vikings?
No, for sure.
You say we.
It's a we thing. Okay. Unless they suck.
Like the Yankees,
I
say we.
Them thing. It's not, yeah. I'm not a loser. They're the losers.
That is funny how it changes. When they are when it's bad, it's them.
Yeah.
When it's good, it's like, oh, us.
Oh, us. Yeah. We are succeeding.
We're playing well.
Yeah.
But we digress.
Speaking of playing well. So the Sacramento Kings won their first preseason game last night, 105-75, I believe, in a complete, utter domination of the Los Angeles Lakers. It was not a very pretty game for the first half, really, and then the second half the Kings started to make some shots, and it really opened up from there and really just kind of took on a life of its own. Some interesting notes just before we dive into the game itself. KZ Akpala got the start. It was some speculation on whether Keegan Murray, whether it would be, you know, Trey Lyles, Chimezie Metu. Kind of throws a curveball out there and starts KZ Akpala. It kind of made more sense once you kind of saw the ball rolled out there and how the matchups ended up playing out. But let's just start off with that. I mean, KZ Akpala gets the start. What were your initial thoughts? What did you think of Akpala's first little stint out there?
I mean, we know Mike Brown's a defensive guy. He's a defensive coach. And we know that the Kings have been a top one, like worst defensive team in the league over the past 3-4 years, maybe longer. So the fact that Mike Brown's coming in and was kind of going with a defensive forward out of the gate, I think it was kind of noteworthy to me just because of the fact that the other four guys, to me, are locked in as starters. I know that Mike Brown hasn't said officially Kevin Huerter is a starter, but I think that he is. I mean, I would say there's 99% chance he's going to be the starting shooting guard opening night. So by putting Akpala out there, I think it's one or two things to me. And I want your thoughts. Mm-hmm. One, there's a legitimate chance that KZ Akpala is a starting power forward / small forward on this team. And it's going to kind of be like a matchup basis. Like he might play for a few minutes out the gate, and then Keegan Murray will play the bulk, kind of backing him up, kind of like an opener mm-hmm. in baseball, like how you start your bullpen arm, and then you bring in like a long starter, kind of a longer starter after that, a longer relief. And the second option is Mike Brown just didn't want Keegan Murray's first taste of NBA action to be against LeBron James. I'm not sure where you stand on that. I'm kind of going towards the latter. I think that Akpala starting was kind of maybe just kind of a, hey, Keegan, let's kind of wean you in a little bit and not have you come on out and just guard the best basketball player of all, arguably of all time, in your first professional game. But it was interesting to see. I mean, KZ had some good defensive sequences. He's obviously a good defender. He can defend every position, which is insane. It's a great tool to me to have kind of depth-wise. I don't know about starting. How did you see it? Did you see this as a scenario where he's in the mix for a starting role, or do you think that it was kind of the Mike Brown protecting Keegan Murray avenue?
I think it's a mixture of both. I definitely think you're right on the baseball starter comp thing, because when you look at the minutes played, KZ ended up playing 9 minutes, which is the exact same amount of minutes as Alex Len, Sam Merrill, Chimezie Metu, Dellavedova. So he was definitely going to get that level of a role, I think, from the jump. But I think to your other point, it would have been tough to throw Keegan Murray out there and be like, hey, go find, you know, look special or, you know, whatever. I think Keegan looked really, really good last night. But go, you know, to have that kind of performance while also, like you mentioned, having to guard LeBron James in his NBA debut, not LeBron James, but Keegan Murray in his NBA debut, is a tough, tough assignment. And we saw KZ step up big time. LeBron was 0-7 last night. You know, it wasn't completely because KZ was locking him down, but I thought a lot of the time KZ stayed in his face, made him take tough shots. I was impressed with what I saw. I think offensively is going to be the biggest hurdle for KZ. I think for Kings fans, it'll be easy to just kind of put it like he's pretty much Mo Harkless at this point. Which side of the Mo Harkless thing he'll fall on is yet to be determined, whether we all saw how it ended up playing out with Mo, where he just couldn't, his offense wasn't good enough to stay on the floor. They're hoping KZ can maybe hit a couple shots. And I think I assume KZ's going to get a good run this preseason. If he can show that he can hit shots throughout this preseason, I do think that there's a chance that he starts game one and they give him, you know, a 3 to 5 game window to where it's like, hey, man, like, here's your opportunity. If you can, you know, survive in this role, we would love to have you there for the time being. But long answer short, I agree with you. I think it had a lot to do with the fact that LeBron James was on the other side of the court.
It makes Sunday a lot more interesting just to see what they do. I think that we could see even a different starting lineup as far as maybe Malik Monk gets a start at the guard spot on Sunday. Maybe Mike Brown doesn't want to kind of have people, you know, tracking on to what he's planning on doing. But I think last night was a pretty good idea. And it is interesting when you look at how many minutes KZ played. I kind of didn't really realize the fact that he did play as many minutes as Sam Merrill, someone who might not be on the roster come opening night. Quinn Cook, Matthew Dellavedova, guys that are battling out for one spot. Chima Moneke, who I thought was going to have more of a role in play larger minutes. And again, it's one preseason game, but I think Sunday's going to give us a little bit more of an idea of what Mike Brown's thinking. To me, and I'm not sure if you feel the same way, I think it's kind of obvious, it almost goes without saying, but the first five off the bench were the first five that will be off coming off the bench this season, which was Davion Mitchell, Malik Monk, Rashawn Holmes, Keegan Murray, and Trey Lyles. And obviously, if Keegan Murray and KZ are interchangeable, maybe Keegan gets that starting spot eventually. But do you feel like there was a couple guys that weren't included in that? Obviously, Terrence Davis and Chimezie Metu are the most notable. Mm-hmm. Two, are you a fan of that bench unit? Did you like what you saw from the Mitchell, Monk, backcourt, Rashawn? I mean, did you have any thoughts with that second unit? Do you like those names coming off the bench?
Yeah, I thought the second unit actually started the second half, which I thought was interesting.
Led the comeback.
And yeah, I mean, they really did come out. It was mainly Malik Monk came out in the second half and really started to hit his shots, and that started to turn things around. And then Davion hit a couple shots. I thought that those two, from an offensive perspective, looked great. A lot of what I expect to see out of Malik is this volume shooting where he can get hot for a couple minutes there and really be exciting and add a spark to the offense. Davion hit some nice mid-range jump shots. I think he also hit a three as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he did
hit a three as well.
He and Monk went back to back in the third, and that's kind of what gave the Kings the lead for good.
Yeah, so I think I really want to just throw out that first half in total because I think it was one of the roughest watches of basketball I've seen in a while. Obviously, it was game one, but
the first half.
I mean, and it was on both sides as well. Like the Lakers, I would love to give credit to the Kings defensively, who I do think, on most occasions did play some pretty good defense, but just neither team could hit anything.
No, the Kings shot 32% from the field in the first half, 11% from three. Second half, they shoot 48% from the field, and they outscored the Lakers 64-29. Now, again, it's preseason, and if the Kings were getting outscored 64-29, I'm sure we'd be sitting here saying, oh, it's preseason. They have Sam Merrill out there and Matthew Dellavedova. But I think when you look at who was doing it and getting it done out there, and especially when you're seeing Keegan Murray, which I'm sure we're going to talk about Keegan next, but when you're seeing the guys that are getting it done, it's encouraging because the Kings have been – we've been looking for bright spots for a long time, and the fact that you have a rookie who is making headlines – You have your bench unit kind of leading this charge against a Lakers team, which I've told you again and again in the past year and a half, I am not high on the Lakers.
No, you've been on this. You were dead on last year. You stuck to your guns, too, because I think we did a podcast with Brendan, and we were both shocked at your prediction of, like, I think the Lakers are going to be bad. And we're like,
no way. Dumb, bro. It was like right after the Westbrook trade.
Yeah,
Westbrook
was.
Trade. Yeah. But, I mean, look at their rotation. I mean, yeah. I love me some Damian Jones, but he's their starting center.
Yeah.
Their backup.
Tommy O.
They have Juan Toscano-Anderson, Thomas Bryant, yeah, Austin Reeves.
I always
Reeves.
Call him Thomas O'Brien. I don't know why. I always want to make it like very Irish.
Yeah. Wenyen Gabriel
had himself a game, did he not?
Revenge game. He had 10 rebounds last night, 10 rebounds and 6 points, 4 blocks.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was a defensive guy. Now that's in his bag. But anyways, point is, I think that you are allowed to be happy and
for sure.
and encouraged yeah. by a 30-point win in preseason just because of the fact that, you know, De'Aaron had a quiet game. We're not focusing on
the start,
Fox, Sabonis. No. We're focused on the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And primarily Keegan Murray, who, I mean, Twitter last night was Keegan Murray love fest. I mean, the guy has answered every call. I have his stats right here. Keegan Murray over 8 games with the Kings. This is 7 games in summer league, 1 game in preseason. He's averaging 21 points per game, 7.2 rebounds, 1.3 steals, 51% from the field, 41 from 3, playing just under 30 minutes per game. Even his bad game, the only bad game we've seen from Keegan was a game in San Francisco during the California Classic where he had 9 points and 9 rebounds. And I think it was because he was being passive, which is something he said post-game. And Jordy Fernandez, the Kings assistant coach, summer league head coach, said that he thought Keegan was trying to get his teammates involved too much instead of kind of taking control of the offense. That's the only down game he had, and he almost had a double-double. So what were your thoughts on Keegan? I mean, obviously the starting lineup is its own conversation, but is there anything that sticks out to you the like most when watching him? I mean, is it the way he plays?
Yeah.
Like this is poise. What do you think about Keegs?
I mean, to me, the two things that really stuck out were his general aggressiveness to score. He came out of the gate immediately, and I think his first shot was he got it on the wing, and the ball was moving, and it kind of stopped with him, and he drove, took a leaner, unafraid. It was actually a good look. I thought he should have kept the ball moving, but he ended up bringing it in. He missed the shot, but just very unafraid to shoot. Obviously, he was making his shots when nobody else on the team was making it, which is an incredibly encouraging sign. Just everything that was advertised, just an absolute bucket getter. Really quiet in his points. He had 16. Obviously, Keegan played well. You noticed the shots he made, but for him to finish with 16 points is
11 shots.
On 11 shots is great. Really no complaints. I mean, he played phenomenal for a first game where nobody else on his team really played well. I didn't think he was forcing the issue at all. I didn't think he was trying to overextend himself. Didn't see him try and take any ISOs or anything like that. Like, it was just all very in control, all very part of the offense. And he made just about every open look he had. Not really any complaints. I haven't really looked much on the defensive side of what he did, but no major glaring holes seemed to be there.
He didn't seem overmatched. I mean, he had a couple good. He had 2 steals. One was picking off the passing lane, and it was right after he'd already had nailed a jumper. Then he mm-hmm. picked off the pass like seconds
later. I do
remember.
Yes, and he dunked it.
That was like the best sequence of the game from him.
Oh, he also had the he had a beautiful lob pass as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, to Rashawn.
To Rashawn. Yes, that was great. That was phenomenal. Great to see. Obviously not really known for his passing, but to have that kind of vision, the Kings are not really a big, we've talked about this in the past, don't throw a lot of lobs traditionally in Kings history.
Not since Rondo and Willie were hooking. I mean, that was also a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Derek Williams.
Again,
gotta give Derek Williams.
I'm a massive fan of the Rondo era, year.
Yeah.
I'm a massive fan of the Rondo year. I had so much fun watching those games.
Very polarizing.
It is a very polarizing topic, but no, Keegan just does the right things out there, man. He stays in his lane. Mm-hmm. He doesn't try to overdo it. He doesn't force shots. He does play defense. He has length. He just is inexperienced. And I think that one of the main reasons why we did see Casey get that start is he's been in the league for a couple years. He's played for good teams, played for Miami Heat. So again, keep an eye on it. I mean, we'll see what happens on Sunday, but he should be starting for this team. He's their best. He's their third best player, arguably, in my opinion. He might be their third best player already. So,
His play has left that open for sure. I mean, like it's left that possibility open, and that's no slouch of a compliment either. Like, there's some real legitimate NBA guys that could be the third best player on this Kings team, but I think Keegan from day one has his opportunity to fill that spot, which is kind of insane to say, because if that's your starting point, who knows where he'll be year four, year five,
yeah,
year eight. It's crazy to think they showed yesterday De'Aaron's in his sixth NBA season.
And he's only 24. I mean, Keegan's 22, which is kind of compare the where they are right now. I mean, 2 years ago was the COVID year.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
and De'Aaron was in his fourth season. So De'Aaron, you mentioned his name. He did get hot at the end of the first half. I mean, attacking he kind of helped him, lead. Yeah. He started attacking them over and over. I think he knew this is my last stretch of play I'm going to have. I'm just going to attack every possession.
This guy's jump shot is one game, yeah, you can't take away from
four,
it. But
4 of 12 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3.
He had some wide open looks and just wasn't even close. I mean, back of the rim, huge thuds. It was tough to see. I'll reserve my judgment still on, but the thought did creep into my mind last night. Is this something that we're just going to have to give up on?
I don't know if we have to give up on it.
He should just not shoot, but is he just going to be a 33 and under percent three-point shooter?
I mean, he already is, but I think that Fox, for the first time in his career, gets to enjoy the luxury of not having to take as many. I mean, he's going to get a lot of open looks because his defender's just going to give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be on him either to improve and be able to knock them down at an average rate, 31%, 32%, like you said. But he has guys around him now, Keegan Murray, Kevin Herter, Harrison Barnes, everyone struggled last night from the three-point line, but the point. Malik Monk was 3-11 from the field, 1-5 from three. I mean, that's not going to happen during the season, though. My point is, De'Aaron has shooters around him, so he's not going to have to necessarily take every open three that he gets.
Yeah.
He might, because that's a competitor in him, and he's their best scorer. I mean, he is their best scorer. So hopefully he can find ways to create and get other guys involved if he's not able to knock down shots like last night. But he's going to get a lot of open looks. So I don't think we can really give up on it. I hope he can get in those hot streaks. Like last year, he was 38% from three-point line over the last, 16 games of the year? So it can happen. He can get hot. But, yeah, the shot doesn't look good. I mean, again, one game.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens on Sunday. But he's kind of been like that his whole career. He's kind of gone from, he was 6 of 20 and missed 7 threes, and then the next game he'll score 34 and hit 4 threes. It's just he's very, very streaky when it comes to his three-point shot. But, again, just the beginning.
Sorry, I had something in my throat there.
Are you okay?
I know, I was dying.
Are you all right?
Acid reflex. I had a good point. I can't remember what I was going to say. We're talking about De'Aaron. I don't know. I'll just switch this up. I will say it was good. I last episode was very adamant that preseason doesn't matter and obviously results don't matter. But the thing that I will take most from this game, I think, is the fact that the Lakers bench unit is really bad.
Yeah.
And the Kings did dominate them in that second
half. Our bench
half.
Beat their bench.
Exactly. And to the appropriate amount of drumming that they probably deserved. I mean, our bench is pretty significantly, especially scoring-wise, a lot better than their bench. And they, to their credit, they took care of business after a really, really rough first half. And I think it was 50 to 40 or something like that.
It was crazy.
I don't even know if either team reached 50 at halftime.
I don't think so.
For the Kings to end up with 100 points to me was like a miracle. If you would have told me that in the first half, I wouldn't have believed you.
I mean, that's just kind of what the Lakers are. I mean,
they're very top heavy.
LeBron and AD and Westbrook have to beat you.
I thought Westbrook looked good last night.
Oh yeah, he did. He did. I mean, he's a good. We joke.
I don't know how we haven't talked about this. Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
This man rocked the cradle in the third minute.
Who was that against?
Of a preseason game, De'Aaron.
That was De'Aaron.
Yeah.
They've kind of had some beef, but
they've had
because the speed.
I think De'Aaron really likes him. Like I think it's like a respect kind of thing.
I think it's all Westbrook though. De'Aaron just said he was one of the fastest guys in the league, and I don't think he was even – he didn't even name Westbrook, but Westbrook – remember, he blew by him when he played for the Thunder and was like, I'm fast. Like, the camera got him saying, I'm fast, because he beat him on the M1. So they've had, like, some – I don't know. It's probably all fun, but in a preseason game, that's crazy.
Russell is one of the least likable NBA players I can think of.
He really is, but off the floor, he's
no, he's a totally –
these are separate
like –
sorry. Yeah, I'm like
– No. I think Russell Westbrook gets the level of disrespect that caveat does need to be thrown out there.
He's
not a garbage person.
He's a Hall of Fame basketball player. Yeah. I think we can agree he's going to make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So,
all intents and purposes, also a very nice guy.
But I preface that's my
fashion
my,
icon.
That's my preface to like he is not what he once was, and he kind of has to reinvent himself. Like he's going to have to reinvent his game. And last night, he played 15 minutes, but it was kind of uncharacteristic of what – I mean, he was – he's always
pretty efficient, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was pretty efficient. I mean, he only took 3 shots, made 2 of them.
Mm-hmm. Attacked the rim really aggressively. Yeah. I thought he looked – to his point – to his old point, I thought he looked really fast.
He didn't take 1 3-pointer, which is, I'm sure, good. Lakers fans love
to see
that.
Yeah, there wasn't really a moment where I was like, oh, there's Russ. Like,
well, did you see the video? The practice video? Did you see
I did not. No.
Oh,
did I speak too soon? Not so fast in the words
of Lee. There was like a video of someone saying I thought this was just people wearing Lakers jerseys, but it was like a media member or a fan got video of their live or open practice in a gym. And it was like a minute of them just bricking shots. Like Westbrook completely like air balls a 3. I think Juan Toscano, like,
oh man,
gets rim checked.
Loving some JTA, but yeah, he looked rough last night too.
Yeah, Pat Bev, like,
yeah, Pat Bev, I thought looked decent, but
yeah, him and Fox, the game, Fox kind of had a nice possession on Pat
Bev.
That
was sick. That was great.
Fox locked him up, and then Pat Bev came and like patted his head.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was pretty cool. I don't know. It was fun. It was fun, man, to watch basketball again.
Yeah, that was big takeaway. Felt so good to watch. Like, I was locked into every single minute of that game, and it felt so good.
It was good.
Like, it just felt right.
Like, a minute in, I was like, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, watching the Kings again.
Yeah, this
and, like,
is great.
We're watching Kevin Herter play. We're watching all these things kind of happen out in front of us. Like,
yeah.
It was kind of nice.
It was great. And, like, I think you mentioned that – oh, no, you didn't. But I was, like, more excited to see Chima Moniecki and,
yeah,
you know, what would happen with Dellavedova and Quinn Cook. I thought that was interesting. I don't know. We can go into that
in
a later episode.
I mean, there's much more.
Yeah, no one distinguished themselves.
Like – Dellavedova scored he didn't score any points.
He was
points.
The only player who didn't score. Here's another thing. Big shout out Mike Brown for getting 20 players into the game and giving them all, I think, 6 minutes. Yeah. And,
7 minutes.
Delly was the only one who didn't score. So everyone got to touch the rock. Everyone got to show a little bit of something.
Shout out Brennan Nunez's favorite player, Keon Ellis.
Man. Keon Ellis, even in his, I'm assuming he was one of the 6 minute guys.
A steal and 2 blocks over 7 minutes.
Yeah, and an air ball. But
and an air ball.
We won't mention that, Brandon.
But
it was
clamps.
It was an incredible. I mean, very clamps. On brand for Keon Ellis, and he showed every bit of it. I thought even Nimi looked good.
Yeah,
moved well, looked comfortable.
I'm
no complaints really from anyone. Mezzi, of course, had to take a 3. He was open.
But. I told our buddy Avery, who works for the Kings, who's in charge of Stockton PR now, I told him, like, we're going to come down and watch a couple of games this year.
So.
And he was
absolutely.
Like, no, you're not. I'm like, I mean, why wouldn't you? Like, why?
That's so funny.
He was like, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, but they're going to
everyone always says that. No, you're not.
They're going to have Keon and Keon, Kata. I think Cook will go. I think the Kings own his G League, right? So if I'm going to go watch Cook, Ellis, Kata, maybe Moniecki goes to the G League. That's enough for me to watch right there.
For sure.
Like, that's basically the summer league team.
I'm intrigued with Chima Moniecki. I don't know why, what happened in the span of, like, him signing to now, but, like, I just, like, I feel like there's some promise there.
Very confident guy. At training camp or on media day, he was very, very confident.
He had a chain that said Chima, right?
I think so. And he said that he has known he has belonged in the NBA since, I think, 4 years ago.
Interesting.
And I honestly thought he was like a dark horse to be coming off the bench in the second unit.
Yeah.
So, again, we don't know what the rotation is yet. Things could change. Next game, we could see Chemezi and Moniecki come off the bench at the forward spots. We'll see.
Yeah, move on to that. What do you expect to see next game? Or what are you looking forward to seeing next game?
Next game, if we're just going to throw like predictions out there, one thing that didn't happen last night was Sabonis and Holmes played 0 seconds together. They didn't play one possession together. I think we might see at least like a minute or two, like kind of like a tiny overlap, Holmes, Sabonis. I think we'll see a little bit more Terrence Davis. I'm kind of surprised he's out of the rotation. I would have figured he would be in there. Again, this could be – I think I saw someone on Twitter predict that the rotation would be this exact 10-man rotation from last night. So it would be Barnes, Akpala, Sabonis, Herter, Fox, Mitchell, Murray, Monk, Holmes, Lyles. But Akpala and TD would be interchangeable in mm-hmm. different games and mm-hmm. settings. Like if the yeah. Kings aren't playing against Giannis or Kawhi or LeBron, like if they're playing against Portland, which would be a good example for yeah. Sunday, if they're playing against Portland, who doesn't have any like really long, mm-hmm. lengthy, like, you know, Harrison Barnes or Keegan Murray can hopefully handle Jerami Grant.
Yeah.
You'll see Terrence Davis come off the bench at the kind of
In a preseason game, yeah, maybe even start.
Kind of as a small forward option. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, positionless basketball, yeah. right? But I think
Josh Hart starts at the three for Portland.
I would imagine so. I just think that TD is too much of a talent to like kind of bury in the bench on this team. That's just my opinion. But I would look for that. I mean, do you have anything that you kind of want to look for on Sunday?
Yeah, I expect a lot more of the bench to come in. Domas looked pretty, not disinterested, but unaggressive, I think would be a good term to use in game one. I don't think he's really trying to strain himself. I don't think he really needs to figure anything out about his game. I think he kind of knows what he is and doesn't really need the preseason to kind of get warm. I think seeing more of Rashawn Holmes, seeing if Rashawn is comfortable coming off the bench or with that bench unit. And, you know, I'm going to keep saying it, but that Delly-Quinn Cook thing is going to be interesting to me. I was very disappointed, honestly, with the Dellavedova performance. I was hoping to see a little more pep in the step. I don't necessarily need him to score, but the way I was thinking about it last night is, like, I want my third point guard to be, like, a backup quarterback where it's just, like, I don't need you to come in and be the starter and do everything that the starter does. I just want you to come in and not lose me the game. So if knock on wood, if De'Aaron Fox goes down or if Davion Mitchell goes down and Quinn or Delly has to come in, who's the guy that I trust to just get the offense going?
Steer the ship.
And that, to me, seems like Delly would have the advantage. And I do think he ran the offense fine last night. But
at 3 assists over, what, 8 minutes?
Yeah. I just, you know, I wonder if Quinn Cook offers a little more versatility. I don't know. To me, that'll be interesting, just how they play out. I can see Quinn trying to be that guy who tries to be the starter, takes 10 shots, goes 2 for 10, and ends up losing
the game. Yeah, I'm a huge Quinn Cook guy, too. I've kind of come around to the Matthew Dellavedova side of things only because I feel like the Kings have enough shooters. They need more guys like Dellavedova who can be a disruptor on defense and a guy that can just kind of be a straight-up hustle guy and just pester the hell out of people. I think that's exactly what this team needs, and probably a guy that Mike Brown's going to enjoy. Quinn Cook, if he's in the G League, that'd be great, too, to have him as insurance.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if that's exactly what's going to happen. I don't know if that's – maybe Quinn Cook gets an option somewhere else or maybe he gets an opportunity. But I'll just go ahead and say the same thing I've been saying all summer. If either one of these guys get meaningful minutes this season, it's very bad for the Kings.
Yes.
Because that means De'Aaron Fox or Davion Mitchell are out. So – we'll see what the rotation looks like on Sunday. We're going to probably have some quotes and some clarity at practice this week. I'm thinking practice will be tomorrow or Thursday for sure. I think all we have left is to give someone some flowers.
Yes. Yep. This is the wrapping up the end of this podcast. I did not think that we would ever have the opportunity to talk about this guy. I thought we missed this era and would just miss out on talking about him. Jason Thompson, you wrote a story this morning, has officially retired from basketball. He's joining the coaching staff of his college alma mater, Rider University. He will be joining their coaching staff in some capacity. I can't tell you.
Special assistant to head coach.
Assistant to the assistant.
Special. Gotcha. Assistant to the assistant, yeah.
Gotcha. Sounds thrilling. We never got a chance to ever talk about Jason Thompson or his Sacramento stint.
It's not in kind depth. Of,
you know, it's a pretty I don't want to say unspectacular, but unglorious era that he reigned upon, I should say. He was the all-time leader in games played in the Sacramento era. Mm-hmm. You pulled up a couple top tens that he is all-time.
It's kind
in
of
Sacramento
it's
Kings
kind of
history. This is in Sacramento or an
I mean,
all-time Kings?
It's all-time. Gotcha. The whole franchise is, since 1940, yikes. I think. One? Is that how old we are?
I can't answer that.
Sorry. I actually need that answer to that because it's bothering me. I'm just going to Basketball Reference. Basketball Reference. Do you have a guess?
The Kings, the Rochester Royals. Let's see. They won a championship in 56, right? So, yeah, I'll say 40.
1948.
Oh.
So, 75 years. How come we're not celebrating our 75th anniversary this year?
Maybe that's... Whoa.
Oh.
Frank, weren't Whoa. You the one who reported that it does have to be an anniversary jersey?
So, are we going to go back to the...
Rochester
blank,
Royals?
The probably blank white.
They just say Royals, right?
I bet in 1948 they probably just like were T-shirts with the sleeves cut off or something. Like I don't know.
They look like LeBron's, the Warrior series when they wore sleeve jerseys.
And what was the material back then? Like burlap, like sack stuff.
Who even
like,
knows? It's a great question.
I don't know. Baseball players used to play in like thick, like cotton uniforms.
Yeah,
that probably felt like
yeah.
they're like. Probably sweatsuits or something like that. They've had to have been so uncomfortable. Jason Thompson, since the Kings became an organization, ranks fourth in franchise history in offensive rebounds, 1,200. Seventh defensive rebounds, 2,500. Seventh in blocks, 394.
Interesting.
And he is 10th in rebounds, total rebounds, with 3,700. He is a top 10 player that's what... four or five categories right there. And then also he is the leading – he's played in more games Sacramento era than anybody else. So, like, it's kind of just – it's interesting to me. I mean –
interesting is the word.
I don't want to hate on sure. JT. I will just say I've told you earlier when I was in high school, I used to go to Kings games at Arco. And whenever JT would kind of take those 15-footers, I would just scream no every time. I just would scream it. He'd make them sometimes.
He did take those a lot. I did forget about that. He really used to love that mid-range jump shot, like from the elbow. He was like very Chris Webber-esque.
Very, very, very straight very up Chris stiff. Webber shot. Yes, yeah. Stiff. And I'd be like, no!
Yeah.
No!
Rarely went in. JT's a really, like, when the Kings eventually finally get good, Jason Thompson is going to be the Andres Biedrinch of Kings, you know, where it's like, don't talk to me unless you know who this is, kind of thing.
You know, I'm surprised he hasn't come back to more things. Like, they haven't honored him or had him come to... He's not sitting there with Brad Miller or...
Frank, come on.
Oh.
He doesn't need to be.
Well, I'm wondering if there's... I mean, he
all,
did
everything play... that you listed Jason Thompson being top 10 for is exclusively because he played so long with the team and he was like... always good enough to, like, make the team, and the team was obviously
Oh, I'm not saying
bad.
He's good. I'm not saying he's good. I mean, we have Kenny Thomas on our – we have Kenny Thomas on the pregame show.
Kenny was good for a while.
I'm just saying
– Was he?
I think he had a couple of good years at the Kings,
I feel
right?
Like me and Brendan looked this up once, and his King stats are just not it. But you know what it was? It was remember when Kenny Thomas got mad at Brendan because Brendan was
Brendan
like –
Brendan said
K-9.
He did go at Brendan
so
for
he was
that.
Like – Brendan was like, I looked at Brendan, I'm going to expose you here, but Brendan was like, I looked up Kenny's numbers because people were going at me, like fans were also going at him, and he was like, Kenny was like 8 points a game. Like, I'm sorry, if Kevin Huerter averages 16 a game, I think he gets
K-9 sure.
and priority.
Kenny Thomas hasn't played for the Kings in over a decade, and like, you know, love
also
it.
Came over in the Chris Webber trade.
Yeah,
right?
And he was good for them that year. 26 games, 14.5 points, 8.7 rebounds. Then after that, it was kind of downhill from there. But I'm saying that JT, you know, he was around. And he
he was, in fact, around.
8 years. And
that should be – if they retire Jason Thompson's jersey, it should be
well, who
slogan.
Who
was
better
around.
Better career numbers for the Kings?
Okay.
6-6 for – sorry, I mean to spoil
go ahead.
It.
No, go ahead.
6-6 for Kenny Thomas.
Oh, okay.
49 from the field. JT's 8-6 for the Kings, 49% from the field. So by default, or by that.
I mean, Jason had better numbers for sure. Did it for longer. You can argue Jason had more opportunity.
He holds a
I
record.
Really can't speak. I don't know. Yeah, I mean.
He's a record holder.
He is for sure a record holder. It hopefully will be broken by De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, where is he on that list?
He's pretty close. I know he's pretty close because, I mean, Also, Jason Ross has this amazing stat, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but nobody in Kings history, in Sacramento history, has stayed with the team longer than, I think, 7 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
It's something like that. Like, it's six, it's either, it's between 6 and 8 years. I can't remember which one it is.
De'Aaron's at 322, so he needs like 200 more games. He needs like three more seasons. So he'd have to like, he'd have to, that'd be 8 seasons.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. Which probably, yeah, that probably equals out. Yeah, 8 or 9 seasons, I think. Nobody in the Sacramento era has stayed for that
long. I think Boogie had to have played more than 8. I think Boogie played 8 years. Or is it 7?
He might have been at 7.5.
It's 7.
Yeah.
Okay, what about Weber?
Weber was here in 98 or 99.
So that would be 7.
04, 05?
I think that'd be 7, right? Seven.
Peja spent 8 seasons with the Kings.
Peja did
8? 7.5, I guess.
Weber, 7. Are you sure Peja's 8? Or
yeah,
is
it says Peja 8 seasons.
It says 8 on the bottom.
One,
it says
two,
sack.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Traded in his 8th.
Is Jason
season.
Pushing
7.5?
Is Jason pushing fake news?
No. Well, Peja was here for 7.5 seasons.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean that kind of. I think Mike Bibby also 8 seasons, 6 seasons maybe.
I think maybe more. Right, like 9.
Mike Bibby played 7 seasons with Sacramento.
Wow, 7 is so the unlucky number.
So yeah, I mean 8 years is kind of the. The goal,
so
I
next
guess,
year,
for anybody.
I mean, next year would make sense, too. If the Kings are bad this year and bad next year, like, at the deadline,
yeah.
I feel like that would be the time where I think De'Aaron would have 2.5 years left on his deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
it's
what
getting
are we
close to that.
Do?
You know how, like, the Knicks have that, had, I should say, that stat before RJ Barrett just broke it, that they hadn't re-signed a first-round draft pick since 1999?
That's insane.
Yeah.
Didn't we have a stat like that too? That we haven't signed a rookie extension.
Yeah, a rookie extension. There was a long
just
period
Fox.
Of time. It was Fox. But
it was
then,
Cousins,
like, yeah.
Fox, and yeah. then
like Willie didn't get one. T. Rob didn't get one. Jimmer didn't get one. Ben didn't get one. Isaiah. Well,
Bogey didn't get one.
Bogey didn't get one. Tyreek might have not even gotten
he
one.
He didn't. He signed with
yeah,
the.
Yeah, he signed
the,
with New Orleans.
Pelicans.
So, yeah, I mean, there was a good period there.
Only like two?
I think it was between DeMarcus and Fox.
There's two of them over
yeah.
the, what, past 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
That's kind of insane.
That's it.
And we've drafted yeah. every single year.
Well, and even, like, before that, like, what, Kevin Martin didn't get one. Quincy Doobie.
Did he not?
I don't think so. I don't think he was here long enough. I mean, he was.
I think you're right.
Quincy Doobie obviously didn't get one. I can't.
Now, 6 years. Kevin Martin signed
Kevin
an extension.
Martin
I don't know what it was, yeah. though.
Well, there you go.
I'm going to find it.
Interesting. Yeah. Very, very interesting stuff. I mean, obviously, the Kings have been bad for a very long time, and so that doesn't help with all of these stats, I guess, if you want to call them that.
Believe he signed. Yeah, he signed a 50-year extension with the Kings for
50-year extension.
50 years, 50 million extension with the Kings.
Hmm.
So he's in that list since 2000.
He was drafted in 04.
Since like the year 2000, yeah. I would say the Kings have extended.
Peja.
I think Peja was 98.
I think you're right. Yeah, because he missed his first two seasons.
Since 2000, we'll call it Kmart,
yeah, right.
Weber.
Just people in general who have signed extensions?
Not Weber, sorry. No,
okay.
Rookie.
Yeah.
So
Martin,
Cousins,
Fox.
Am I missing anybody else? They drafted anybody
JT.
In like... JT?
I guess,
yeah,
right? Yeah.
We're back
we're
to the
here,
beginning.
We are.
That's,
I know,
that's
yeah.
full circle.
There we go. Boom.
It's JT signed extension.
That's
Boom.
Why you come here.
That's how you end a podcast.
All right. That is preseason game number one in the books. Thank you all for listening so much. Frankie, do you have anything else you want to send the people off with? Aaron Judge still sitting at 61.
I don't think he's going to do it. Just want to say that until we record next week. They have a doubleheader today. They play tomorrow, last game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to do it. I think it's kind of fitting, you know? 61, you're tied with another Yankee. You got to come back and get to sign an extension, I guess. So.
Unfinished business. Okay.
Yeah,
yeah
unfinished
sure.
business.
All right. Well, we probably won't record again until next week,
we'll
I'd
see.
Imagine. Maybe
unless,
Monday or Tuesday.
Unless something pops up. But yeah, I would plan on after the Sunday game for sure.
Yep. I don't think there's anything that we're missing in between now and then. I think you can catch all preseason games. I don't know if any or all of them will be televised, but you can catch every single one on Sactown Sports 1140.
Yes.
So there's a good chance that at least one of these games will be blacked out. You will not be completely in the dark, as you can listen to radio. The
flagship.
I almost call it music stylings, but obviously would not be that. The soothing voice of one Gary Gerald. I think in his, if you had to guess what number season this is for Gary, what would you say?
I think it's his 30. I think he's in all of them.
So 38? That makes sense. That would make sense for sure.
I think he's in all of that.
I think so, actually, yeah, because he's got that picture of him and Theus sitting courtside.
I told you, Theus is I've said it before in the podcast, his massive legs.
His quads,
Guy's quads are huge.
He's quadded, bro.
Quadded up.
Yeah, so there's that as an option. That's I think that's it.
It's a good way to go out.
Yep, on the quads. Look up Reggie Theus' quads. You're welcome. For Frankie Cardicelli, I am Chris Watkins. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.